What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Hey, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know how unlikely you are?
How unlikely I am?
Yes, how unlikely you are.
I don't think I know how unlikely I am.
You've never fathomed it. You never thought to myself, like, what are the odds of me?
What are the odds of me?
What are they?
What you're thinking about? What are the odds of you?
No, not me. You.
Oh, me?
You in particular. Okay yeah. So there is...
See, when you're not talking about... Not to the listeners.
No.
Do you know how unlikely you are?
Stop trying to relate to the words coming out... No, I'm just kidding. I always want you to relate to the words coming out of my mouth. But no, this is actually more of a specific you question.
Specific to me. Okay.
Pacific Ocean to you.
Okay. Got it.
So, okay. So, back in college when I was in my operations management class, it was one of my favorite courses with my professor, Ted Shockley. That was his name.
Yeah. Are you saying shock like zap or chalk like chocolate?
It's just shock like.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ted Shockley.
Yeah. That's the one.
Got it.
Yeah. He was great. And I remember we were going through the course, and I think we made like a year one Super Carlin Brothers video about this, but it was talking about, and I'm sure I've talked about it on the pop, the Ford Taurus and the way that they made it better in the 80s by making it with like fewer parts.
Yeah.
And the whole idea was that like you take any number of parts that are involved in a specific vehicle, and it's sort of like let's say you've got like five parts and they all have a 99% success rate. The very simple calculation you can use to determine the likelihood of success for that object is to multiply 99 times 99 times 99 times 99 times 99,
right,
which ultimately will give you a number close to like 96.2 or something,
right,
like that. It's smaller than 99 because you would think, like, you know, oh, if it's all 99%, then it has a 99% success rate. But that's
right.
Not how it works.
Not how it works.
Because you start to have like compounding interest, if you will, on the chance of failure.
Right.
So then over the weekend, I was thinking about, for whatever reason, high school sweethearts and sort of this idea that you could meet your partner in high school and how like novel it almost is for that relationship to make it to like fruition. Like,
right.
You know, and it's, and the reason why I think it's so interesting is because, and I actually looked up the statistics on this, is because right after high school for many people is 4 years of college.
Right.
And college is prime time for people to meet their lifelong partners.
I mean, it makes sense. You're suddenly like you've done a lot of maybe like preliminary dating in high school, but like the sample size of people you can meet in high school is just significantly smaller.
Right.
Right. Like you'll probably have stuff in common with them because you've all grown up in the same area and have had many of the same school experiences. But once you reach college, you reach a ton of people exactly your age who have all just finished high school themselves and who are now like choosing specialities even in terms of like their majors and stuff. So you're probably like to be like around, like if you felt like you didn't belong in high school because there just wasn't like a big enough population to support your interests, that goes away.
Yes, it does. Yes. Yeah. And so you start to like really zero in on very obvious like eligible candidates, doubled by the fact that I think there's also like a teams type of situation. Like there's some like psychological studies where it's like people will walk into a room and they'll be randomly assigned, like you're on team A versus team B. And then, you know, it's like, it means nothing. But like, if you let those people kind of walk around and mingle and talk to each other and be like, hey, what team are you on? It's like, oh, I'm team A. It's like, okay, well, I'm team B. So it's like, you know, you start to find like people who share your team A or team B. And within like 15 minutes, people are like, no, team A is where it's at, you know?
Right.
Or like, no, screw team A, team B. Like,
right.
People made an allegiance like that.
Right.
You know, it's like you've built your tribes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all it takes is having a single pole to rally around.
Right.
And that it could be as simple as the meaningless randomly assigned letter.
Right.
But so anyway, I think when you get to college, you definitely have that too, where it's like you're under the same, you know, university umbrella, like, which means that
right.
like now you guys both bleed pink and yellow.
Right.
You know, your school's colors or yeah. something.
Yeah, I guess you're the lemonades or something. Yeah.
The South Dakota lemonade stands. Oh, man. But anyway, so I did I looked it up, and 20 to 40% of like marriages are the result of collegiate relationships.
Sure.
And so it's like, you know, it's crazy though, because you're talking about an 18-year-old versus a 22-year-old, and that's max distance basically between like a top end high schooler and a top end college aged person. And yet the difference between collegiate relationship making it and a high school relationship making it is massive, where only 2% of married couples are high school sweethearts.
Wow.
Yeah. So a shockingly small number.
Well, to be fair, me and Beth only barely squeak in as high school sweethearts, as we did not start dating until basically prom senior year. So, like, yes, absolutely we are. But, like, also, we were about as old as you could be in high school before we started dating.
Right. And, I mean, yeah. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think it's I would still count it every day of the week.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Like
you guys still met there. You still.
Yes, it is where we met. We had classes together. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Even just
a school function was the thing that like brought us together.
Right. Yes, exactly. But so then I was thinking about like high school sweethearts being this like novel characteristic of people. And I was like, you know what it reminds me of? Having twins, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like another one of those things where it's like, it's not wholly uncommon. Like if you have like a large enough group of friends, you will inevitably have someone somewhere who either is a twin or like, you know, has a family member who's twins or an aunt who has twins or something, you know, like there will be like, it can show up. Like it's not like you'll never see it,
yeah,
but it's still unique.
Yeah.
And so only 0.2. Is that right? Is that
the 0.4%
of children are twins.
Wow.
And so I was like, oh my gosh. So if you start to go back to my operations management class with Ted Chocolate, then, which I feel like every time I say it, it sounds like I'm saying chocolate.
Right.
Like chocolatey.
Chocolatey.
No, but it's like,
yeah. Chocolate.
Chocolate. Yeah. Dr. Chocolate.
Yeah. There was a kid named Brian Chocolate on my basketball team sometimes.
I remember that.
Yeah.
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 Shout out to Brian.
Shout out to Brian Chocolate, wherever you are, man.
Yeah. Probably listening. Yeah. We can be fairly certain of that.
He's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That wasn't on my bingo card today.
Right. I didn't think I was going to get a shout out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You should find him on like LinkedIn and send him this.
Yeah. Thought you might enjoy.
Yeah. But so anyway, so then I was thinking about though his class, and I was sort of like, man, if you were to take like the likelihood of becoming who you're going to be by key characteristics and factors in your life,
yeah,
like your kids, huge, your spouse, huge, like, you know, they're not necessarily who you are as a person. Like, I don't think you have to like define yourself by your marriage or by your kids or by your job or any of those types of things.
But I'm like filling out a bio about myself, it probably makes like the first sentence.
Oh, certainly. Yes. Right, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. It's like, these are still important variables to any single person's identity. And so it's sort of like, you know, if you were to be a salesman, for example, you might be able to say like, well, 50% of people are salesmen of some kind, you know? So it's like, you'd have that detail, but then you happen to be a content creator, which is also quite small career path in the scheme of everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, now you're taking like spouse, kids, job.
Right. Like how many full-time content creators do you think married their high school sweethearts and have twins?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Like, I mean, you must be getting into like a league of like 100 people.
Right.
You know, like, I mean,
less than that.
Probably.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes me think of it is I feel like there's a lot of like family influencers out there who I feel like for whatever reason, it's like, but part of me is almost like having twins is what encouraged you to do this, isn't it? Because that is interesting. And now you've got it. And when you guys go to like events, they look so adorable.
Do you feel like family influencers are more likely to have twins? Is that what you're saying?
It's almost what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes. Like it's almost as if like, it's part of like a pipeline. Like
they have the gimmick.
They have a thing that's going to make it that much more like unique or whatever, or adorable or, you know, people aspire to it. Because I mean, I remember I always wanted twins. Like I was like, oh my gosh, I felt it in my bones. I was like, I'm gonna have twins someday, you know, it's gonna be like such a thing. And then I remember when you had twins and I was like, wow, that's a lot of work. And then I had Addison and I was like, if there were two Addisons, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
And then you also had another child.
On
top of that. Yeah. So you just have, you and Beth have all my praises.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
But then in addition to these other things, you also have a mustache. And that's not just like, I mean, it, like you have an identity defining mustache. Like, which I think we need to count.
We need to count the mustache. Okay.
Okay. Well, so what other columns or categories might we include? Because I'm thinking kids, spouse, job feel like a big three.
Right. Okay.
You know, like.
Right.
It's so,
and,
that,
and then handlebar mustache.
Well, so that's the thing. Like physical, like I think you could say like physique, aesthetic. Like if you were like 6'6", I would also count that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like you, but you, like you and I both are not like uncommonly tall or. Like we're both kind of average.
Yeah, we're probably know? Like a little, like a little above average on just height,
slightly above, slightly. Average. But like you know, 6 foot, 6 foot one,
right?
You know, and so I don't think that we would say that your height would be your defining physical attribute,
right?
And I'm not even trying to pigeonhole you into being like Jay. None of your swimming is paying off.
Yeah,
your mustache is
noticeable.
It's like when we walk down the street, like it is a common thing.
It is a take notice mustache.
It is.
There's no doubt.
Way more people come up to us and say something about your mustache than ever do about us being the
it's like content creators. Yeah.
So like, I mean, if our pool was small. I feel like we're getting smaller.
We're getting smaller.
So if we needed like a fifth category, like what's the fifth most important thing?
What's the fifth most important thing?
Yeah. Or like what else will help with our rarity equation? Right. Here?
For me. For you. Yeah, for me.
Because right now I think I'm doing a pretty good job of making you the most unlikely person who's ever existed.
The most unlikely person to have ever existed based on 4 data points.
Yeah, that's what I'm going
there
with
we
so
go.
Far. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, never mind that I think we have like a sitting senator who was also an astronaut, you know. I
right.
mean, so there's that.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I am the eldest in my family and of all the cousins.
True.
Yeah.
True. Okay. So from like a birth order standpoint, you are like the tippy top.
The tip top there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a good one. That's
right.
A good one. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we'll go with age, mustache, spouse, kids. Job.
There you go. Okay.
It is a miracle that you are here right now.
It is a miracle that I'm here. There you go. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Of course. Of course. Also, then, like, I feel like there's like the added layer. This is, and now we're stepping into like sixth category type things. But our dad was like, you know, like a TV news anchor.
Right.
Which,
sure.
Like, prior to the rest of these details being relevant, was like one of those things that like was like a bizarre shiny badge that I think me, you, and Tyler all wore through our...
It was defining. Yeah.
I mean, it was... There was... You never went to a day of class without this being like a known thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So dad has interesting job.
Dad has interesting job.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So can you guys think of anyone else who matches my criteria?
I know. That's sort of like the question to throw out to like, you know, the little kernels out there is, are you less likely than Jay? And if so, let us know.
Prove it.
We want to know. popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
So let's hear it, people.
There we go.
What do you got? I don't know what the odds on all of those things are, but that's pretty fun. I do remember going to a museum one time that was basically kind of doing this exact thing where like
rarest humans.
Like it was just like,
you're like a first edition holographic Charizard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it would ask you just a bunch of like left or right kind of questions. Like, do you have like a widow's peak or not? Do you have like blonde hair or brown hair or red hair? Do you have like freckles or no freckles?
Okay.
And in the course of like 10 questions, it would be like, all right, you've had the same results as like 0.0. Like it would never be more than like 1%. Like everyone would be that different based on like 10 questions.
No way.
And that was like the point of the exhibit or whatever. It was just like, yeah, no one's the same.
So we are all individual snowflakes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Howdy. That, I mean, I do love that. Like it's, but it's also not terribly surprising.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I think about this, like we're all human specimens, right? So like, and we live in a fairly culture defined like society, maybe not like in terms of like deep cultural rituals here in the United States, maybe depending on like your perspective, but like, you know, we have certain attributes about like blue jeans, for example, like the kind of clothing that we wear, the kind of homes that we live in, the way that we get to and from work. Most of us drive automobiles, you know, or use public transit or whatever. Like there's lots of things that you could look at and be like, we sort of live similar lives. But then I bet if you went and spent a week living just with any person, it would take you no longer than the first 24 hours to be like, that's a weird way of doing that.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know,
I considered it that way.
Exactly.
Right,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Like, Literally, this is my first exposure to this, like, or like, one of the questions I think is sometimes funny to ask is like, what order do you shower in? You know, do you wash your hair, face, body? Like, you kind of go like top down, bottom up,
right?
You know, like, is there like a methodology or is like
just what order you remember it in? I saw the shampoo first, so
The other thing would be like, does it even matter to you at all? Because in some weird way, that's a characteristic.
Right. I mean, if you want me to give them, I typically go shampoo first.
Okay, I would largely say I shampoo first because I feel like it feels like the most important part of the shower,
right?
To me,
yeah.
Like we were having a conversation about this in the office the other day, but it's like more often than not, I don't feel like I'm showering because I think I smell bad,
right?
It's more just like this like obligation to cleanliness or something.
It is like almost more of a ritual than anything.
Maybe it is more of a ritual. Yes, yeah. Like it's, and I mean, I'm sure that there's a, like, you know, if I went to like Disney World for a day, I would shower because it would almost be like, I just want to take all of everything I interacted with.
Yeah, just get it off me.
Yeah, same with like planes.
Planes, yes.
It's another big one. It's like, it's really nice to just like get it all off.
Right.
Start fresh.
But it's also like a matter of like, you know, if you went a week, just like in your regular life, like nothing different or anything, just regular life, and you just didn't shower for a week, like by the end of it, I bet you'd have a little funk.
I bet you would. Yeah. I bet you'd start to look like that kid from Peanuts.
Right.
You know, like the little like cloud kind of hanging around you.
What's his name?
Pigpen.
Pigpen.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I was like, Fleabag? Pigpen.
Did they name a kid's character Fleabag?
It does sound like something they would do. Maybe not Peanuts, but 90s animation.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Back, I think, in Hey Arnold, there was a kid named Stinky.
There was.
Yeah, right?
And he was like...
No, that was Brainy.
Oh, no. Was
Stinky
it?
Stinky was the kid who lived in like a log cabin in the middle of the city.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, he was like... He was the country kid.
You're exactly right. Oh, my God. I forgot about Stinky. Yeah. I don't even think he was Stinky now that you mention it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he smelled bad. That was just his name.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. His parents were like, no, I have a Stinky right there.
Yeah. That's right.
The doctor like wrote it down. And like, yes, Stinky it is. I'm like, no, what I meant was like, you know, with the...
Too late. I filled out the form and I filled it out in pen. Maybe if I had a pencil, I could do something. But
But no.
This is the last form we had and they're not getting new pads till next week. So... Stinky it is.
I love how we just built a whole backstory for the plausibility of Stinky's parents naming him Stinky out of a mistake.
Right. It sounds pretty unlikely you would name your kid Stinky, but I guess not impossible. Maybe it's more of a nickname and his real name is something else.
Like,
but
Stinkford.
Right. Yeah. Stinkford. Stinkstifer.
Staunch. Stink. Stank. I don't know. I can't
Stinkbert.
Stinkbert.
Yeah.
Likely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not offending the Stinkberts of the world.
I mean, I've never met a person in real life named Stinky, so
yeah,
I think we're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be an unusual one.
It would be.
Yeah.
Like, it's a family name. I'd be like, well, maybe it shouldn't be.
Here's a thought. Cease that.
You're going to name your kid Stinky? Because I wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm Stinky the Seventh.
Yeah.
Although I would say if somebody told me they were Stinky the Seventh, I'd be like, well, you got to keep that going.
Yeah, well, like, that's right.
At
like,
this point, we're
tradition, my boy.
We're coming up on double digits.
I know, right? Getting to Stink the Tenth.
I mean, that'd be
quite
something.
I don't know. What's the most generational name you've known in real life?
I had a friend who was Ruben. And the seventh. Yes.
That's pretty deep.
It was pretty. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just gave his last name. Just bleep his last name as I say that.
Yeah.
So that I don't just like out Ruben.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe I did that. I like, even in my head, as I was going to say this, I was like, don't say the last name. And it's like, it feels like it's part of the title.
Yeah. The Seventh, man. That's pretty deep.
It's pretty deep.
Man. Yeah. I don't think I've known anyone who was a seventh or anything. I don't even know if I know like thirds. No, I know a third.
We know a third.
We know a third. We know a fourth.
Yeah.
Our third had a son.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
I was like, no, definitely. Wait. He did it. He did the thing.
So there is a decent plausibility that if we live long enough, we will witness a fifth.
Oh, that's true.
You know, probably not a sixth.
Well, you never know. I mean, we have to keep pretty close touch with that family.
We will. Yeah. 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 Now, I mean, I feel
fairly I have no intention of cutting them out of my life. So.
Right. Well, I mean, now for no other reason other than to witness the
sixth. You know, yeah.
The sixth.
We can have. We can be in real time.
It'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I would be thrilled.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I've been here since the third.
Right. Now, now I'm trying to think, like, what if any of my kids decided they were just going to like start it now, you know?
Oh,
like, you know, Luke grows up and he's like, this is LJ, you know,
LJ.
Yeah. Luke Jr. I'll be like, okay. All right. Now I feel bad. I didn't name you Jonathan, but okay.
Cool. Right. So, yeah. So she, now it feels a little like, you know,
yeah.
Like
I guess I could have done it, but I didn't.
I didn't call you JJ, yeah. You know, but you went for LJ.
You went for LJ.
So it's like, I kind of feel a little left out of this right. Name you mentioned now.
Yeah.
Should I change my name to Luke?
Yeah. Yeah. Can I be the third?
Okay, yeah. So it's like there's the original Luke,
right.
His son, and then...
And then me.
And then Grandpa.
Right. And then
Grandpa Luke, LJ.
And then LJ has the fourth.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little out of order.
It's a little out of order.
It's a little confusing.
Yep.
Most of your friends are still sort of like, do I call you L now? Or
yeah. I'll be like, actually, I go by L Trey. L Trey. Okay. Which sounds like, which is actually the letter L. And then three, because I'm trying to go off LJ, so we kind of like rhyme because we're cool like that. We hang.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah. But also, if you say it like Spanish, it's like, L Trey, so it's like the third. Yeah,
L Trey. Oh, L-tray. I get it. Yeah, yeah,
like
E L.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really good.
There you go.
This is working out beautifully.
Right. Yeah.
Luke, no pressure.
Yeah.
No pressure. But we could have on our hands a manufactured fourth.
Right. Yeah. We could do it. We could cheat it out, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what would be weird is if Nick or Nate did this and like the other one didn't. You know. And be like, this is like Nick Jr. And then
Nick Jr.
Yeah, Nick Jr. Oh no, don't do it. Don't do it, Nick. This is Nicholas Jr. And then Nate's kid is just like Lance, you know?
Lance. Most likely. I mean, I feel like you had that surprisingly off the top of
like,
the dome.
I was like, I didn't think of a name for Nate's kid.
Lance.
Something.
Lanceness.
Lance Garland.
That's got a ring.
That's
to it.
Pretty good, I mean, Nate. You know, you're welcome.
Right.
If anyone needs to do it, it's Nate though, because he can carry on the Nathan John tradition, you know, of reverse Jonathans.
Oh yes, yes. That would actually be a really wild one if it was sort of like if people were looking at the family tree and it's like there's Jonathan, Nathan John, Jonathan, Nathan John.
Oh,
and
if he like, goes back to Jonathan,
yes, yeah.
Oh, like, that'd be so funny.
It doesn't even feel that unlikely because like
right.
You know, parents' names are great,
right.
For
fodder for this sort of thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Because you already know that they like fit together well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think this is interesting. It is so rare that like when you're trying to name your child. Like Lance Carlin, you know, it's like you could say that and it's sort of like, wow, that does actually kind of flow. Like it works.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you're trying to choose a name, like if it was like Brittany Carlin, it's like for whatever reason, I'm like, it doesn't feel right.
I don't feel right.
It's like it doesn't like roll off all the Britneys out there being like, hey,
excuse me.
I could be a Carlin
right.
If I wanted
like,
to.
You could have married someone named Brittany.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah. Or could you? You know,
well,
how does it sound?
Right. Yeah. Is this like something where like names literally dictate like who you could end up with?
Right. Yeah.
Because sometimes like it's like when you're trying to choose a name for a child, it feels like so many of them don't feel like they sound right.
Mm.
You know, but then it's almost as if like whenever people marry into a name or like change a name or whatever, you know, happens into adulthood, it's almost like you find the cadence of how to say it.
Right.
So that it does sound right.
Right.
You know, like it's like there's never a world where it's like it can't work long term. But especially if you like, you know, somebody who's gone through a name change, sometimes it's sort of like, you got to like pick the rhythm up from where you like knew it to last.
Right.
Week.
Right. It's sometimes like, you know, like in your brain, they're like, you just knew them like all the way through high school or whatever. And now you still think of them as like the name you knew them by, even though they haven't gone by that in like a decade.
Yes. That's yes. Know? It's so
but
true.
But at the same rate, you'll like, if you meet someone for the first time a week after they're married and they introduce themselves as their new last name, it's like, that's just it.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Yeah. You've only ever known them that way.
You've only ever known them that way.
Right.
And that's
right.
It. Yeah.
Yes. One of the funny ones I always remember from high school was I had a friend named Kaylin and another friend whose last name was Lynn. And they dated. And so we very quickly realized that if they were to get married someday,
right.
her name would be Kaylin Lynn.
Kaylin Lynn.
Which I was always right. like, oh, that'd be so funny.
That would be funny. Yeah. Lin-Lin.
Lin-Lin.
Like Wan-Wan.
Yeah, like Wan-Wan.
Yes.
You know, but like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, if that happens, I feel like it's like you fully lean into it. You
right.
know? It's like, oh, this is
you
wonderful.
Gotta go, you got to go in. Yeah. Fun fact, that exact Kaylin was my very first intern when I worked at the concert venue.
Was she really?
Indeed.
I think that that piece of information has flown the coop.
Yeah.
From my brain.
Well, that like I didn't hire her, but when I was hired, she was an existing intern. So like I became her supervisor. Like that was my role.
Wow.
You
wow.
know? Yeah.
I went
in
to
which
the
case
movies.
I was like, they were like, what do you want us to do? I was like, I just started here. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do.
You know more than me.
So weirdly, and this is a weird situation we find ourselves in.
Right. You're almost my boss.
Right. Not that at all.
Right.
But
right.
also like get out of my office because I don't have anything to do.
That's a great first start is get yeah. out of my office.
Get out of my office.
Right.
Okay. My office, I mean, they turned it into a closet eventually. Okay.
So, you know, not yeah. bad, not bad.
Not bad.
Good for me.
They gave me a better office.
Yeah. Was, so yeah. That's, I mean, that's something.
That was good. That was good. Yeah. You know, had like 9 windows. So.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Pretty solid.
I did go to the movies with this Kaylin.
Wow.
In seventh
She's
grade.
Getting some, you need it. All right. So we're going to send this episode to Kaylin and Ruben and Brian Shockley.
Yeah. That's it.
There
and,
we go.
And maybe also Ted Shockley just for good measure.
Just for good measure. Yeah.
Like he, you made a real impact.
Yeah.
Dr. Ted.
So we're just name dropping all over this episode.
I figure, you know, it's like sometimes I feel dicey about it because it's like, you know, I don't want to give first and last name, but I feel like if it's just a first name, it's like I could be making them up. There is right. there is no Kaylin.
Yeah.
She is not real.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she is, but.
She is. But like, there's a chance she's not.
There's a chance she's not. Right. For some reason, it doesn't feel as bad to give out Brian Shockley's full name. You know what I mean?
It is weird.
You know, just like, because I knew him when we were like, you know, what, like third grade? Who knows, you know?
Who even knows?
I don't even know. Yeah, right.
It's also one of those things with the last name, like Shockley. It's like, look, you were meant for big things.
Right.
And so like...
Shocking things even.
This is them.
This is it.
Right.
Yeah.
I felt the same way about my professor. It's like, you're a professor at an institution. Like, you
right.
know, it's like, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. No, he's findable, you know?
He is findable.
Absolutely. People right. could look him up. No problem. Yeah.
RateMyProfessor.com.
He's probably on there. Yeah. 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 While we're name dropping, Ben, you know whose name we need to drop here?
Oh, yeah.
Oliver Phelps.
Boom, bam.
Boom. Guys, listen, we issued a challenge out to try and get, you know, to try and defeat Oliver Phelps, George Weasley from the Harry Potter films on Cameo. And the good news is that the competition ends at the end of the month, which means as the new month has begun, it is now March. The leaderboard has reset. And our odds of catching him this time are way better.
Way better.
Although, way better.
I will say, though, that on day one, we sat down and we did 6. And promptly we checked to see how we were doing against him. And he had already done 20.
He'd done 20.
Yeah.
And so
it was like
he's ahead of us right now. But you guys have answered the call for sure. There were people who were like, we're bringing Oliver Phelps down. And we were like, we see you. So thank you, Little Colonels, for your Cameo requests. We are climbing the leaderboard. After we did ours today, we were actually on the top 100 for the daily
not leaderboard. So bad.
I know, not so bad.
Yeah, I mean, so we're making it. I mean, yeah. Not to the Keyspring High School Wikipedia page or anything.
Not yet, like, you know. Yeah, but you know, we're gonna like at some point, Oliver Phelps is gonna get wind of this, and he's gonna be quaking.
Quaking.
In fact, Ben, here again, want to know some? I figured as we're out here trying to hunt down, you know. Our hated rival, you know,
hated.
I was like, we need to get
big fan.
We need to get to know thy enemy. So I have some. I have a Phelps fact for you.
A Phelps fact. A fun fact about Phelps.
Exactly.
Nice.
So that we can understand our enemy.
Who we're up against here.
Who we're up against here. Did you know that Oliver and James Phelps skipped school to attend their first Harry Potter audition?
That is the most Weasley twin it's thing the most I've ever heard.
I know.
Like, it almost to me feels a little bit like they walked in and, you know, they already know, like I'm part of the 0.4%.
Right.
You know,
that's it.
We're twins.
I got it.
You know, like I already got that going for me.
Got to go.
You know, maybe one of them married their high school sweetheart too. And they're inside of your small group.
Well, they don't have a mustache
yet, but they could.
Oh,
I know.
You don't think Oliver Phelps would grow a mustache just to compete with me?
I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but I do think that there's a distinct possibility that this is coming to a, to a cameo screen near you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. That'd be okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, something to be looking out for. But I suspect if you walk in, you know, you're already feeling great. Feeling great about who you are. And you're like, by the way, we skipped school to be here. They're like, we found them.
We got them.
We got them. We found them.
We found them. Yes. Right here. Here it is. You two. You'd have to think that most all the other kids trying out must be skipping school too, based on when they do the audition.
It does. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. But like, it's so funny that they did, because that's such a Fred and George move to do. And it's like, it's so, you hear the, like, I think Chris Columbus like had the like Daniel and Emma and Rupert also like write essays about their characters.
Yes.
Like he assigned it to them. And in like true Harry, Ron, and Hermione fashion, like Emma Watson wrote like a 5-page paper about being Hermione, and Daniel Radcliffe wrote like a page about being Harry, and Rupert Grint just didn't do it.
Just
at
didn't
all.
Do it. Yeah.
It was like, yep, that's about right.
That is so spot on.
Yep.
Yeah. 100% how that mm-hmm. goes down.
Yeah.
What a remarkable thing to have like been sitting there in that chair once upon a time and just being like, this is like who I'm gonna be.
Right.
Like, I mean, yeah.
They're probably rarer people than us.
They are quite rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that like, you know, and this is almost like one of those like afterlife type situations. Did I tell you that I watched a movie called Eternity? Have we talked about this on the pod before?
I think you told me about this. This had the Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rough idea is that she marries one man. Like early on in her like early 20s, he goes off to war in Korea where he dies. And then she is like mourning, and she ultimately meets the man who becomes her husband for her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, has kids and grandkids and great grandkids, and they, you know, eventually are in the process of dying of old age.
Right.
And what you discover is that when you die of old age, you go to this like very TVA from like Loki-esque environment. Mm. That's like a, it's almost like a career fair for potential afterlives.
Right.
That,
okay.
That you can go and commit to.
Right. Okay.
So you show up and you get like a week to pick what eternity you want. And when like the husband arrives, he like is in the process of like waiting for his wife for, you know, a number of days, and he ends up running into the first husband, who has been waiting like 60 plus years
right.
for his wife to arrive.
Right.
So both of these men have married the same person. They both have very different relationships with her, and she's like attempting to figure out like, how do I spend my eternity when there's these two men that I love a lot,
right?
You know, in radically different ways, and I've had radically different experiences. And do you go with the person who you've already spent an entire lifetime with, or do you go to the person who was like the young, like wonderful young love type?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. But like, it paints this interesting example of what the afterlife can look like and everything. But like, now I'm thinking about the rarity situation mm-hmm. where it's like you would enter the afterlife, and upon getting there, you're like, it's like, would it be better or worse to be like in this like finite group of, it's like, all right, we've clustered all the same rarity people together.
Right. Yeah.
It's like there's only one of you.
There's only one of me. That was it.
You didn't actually discover it. You were the chosen one.
It was me. Yeah.
So that was unfortunate.
You didn't figure it out. Yeah.
It happened.
Was I supposed to do something?
Right.
Yeah. Oh no.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even try to turn water into wine once.
Yeah. It was like, we kept sending you hints and you would just be like, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I was looking at the night sky last night. It's going to sound so ridiculous, but we were having a fire pit outside.
Yeah.
And I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if like imprinted into the night sky was like a message, but like you never really look at it enough or think that there's any possibility
right.
that there could be a message up there for you.
Right.
But it's like, if you really looked at it, it would be like, you know, jump or something. Jump's a terrible example. I don't know why I said jump. Like, it, in my mind when I said
Lance.
Jump, Lance Carlin.
Hey, I don't get it.
It's like, you need to have a child and name them Lance.
Yeah.
The world has been waiting for the Lance as the 7th month dies.
Right.
Yeah. but no, like, you know, even if it was sort of like there was like an arrow pointing to like a distant horizon or like a mountain peak or like, go here, you know, like,
yeah. Go here, Ben. Huh?
That's weird. It says
weirdly
that
specific.
I'm going to go ahead and do nothing with that information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird that the stars are that way.
Right. Yeah. Don't ask questions.
Yeah.
<guess.
laughs> Yeah.
But like, wouldn't that be wild? And you just like, it's like, yeah, man, you never figured it out.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah. Oops. Oops.
Maybe, yeah. So now I'm thinking though, and in the afterlife, like, you know, maybe Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint and Emma Watson, you know, they like appear in like a shared little like
right
sand drawn circle or whatever.
Right.
And it's sort of like, you guys were the first Harry, Ron, and Hermione. So
right.
Congratulations. Like that kind of puts you like in a bubble that no one else could be.
No one else could be in there. Yeah. Like there were other people who portrayed the characters for, you know, different reasons at different times.
They're just like, not dead yet.
They're not dead yet. That's funny. So you're just here now.
You're just here now. Yeah,
all alone.
The kid who plays Percy Jackson, he's coming soon, but you know, not quite here yet. There's
been a few of him too.
Right. Yeah. Then you don't even get me started on the Fantastic Four. We had to like keep making the ring bigger because they just keep funneling in.
So many Grindelwalds, you know?
So many Grindelwalds. Yeah. Wouldn't it be so funny if you discovered that there was like a single key characteristic about your life though that ended up being the thing that defined which circle you landed in?
Wow.
And yeah. It's like if you landed, it was like all mustached people. And like, really?
This was it, huh?
This was your thing. I sort of did this on a whim.
Right, yeah.
You know?
It's like, this was your thing. This is what you were known for. And it was like, I had like a whole brand. I had a whole life on the internet, you know? Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
Raised kids and stuff. Mustache.
Okay.
I thought about shaving it, you know?
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. 300 and some odd episodes into doing the pop, and I've started to realize something about Jay and I. Not as hosts, but as people. We frequently seek the need for permission to try something new, whether it's tattoos, growing a mustache, or finally starting that Name of the Wind podcast. And while it's funny to think that I didn't realize this before, I also get it, because starting something new is terrifying. Like, we should only do it on Halloween, so at least we can, like, be on brand for the occasion, right? And when it comes to launching a new business, like, forget it. But Shopify is the tool to take you from the daydream you tell your friends you're considering over drinks to actually doing the dang thing. And if you're trying to figure out how to get the word out, no problem. Shopify helps you find your customers with easy to run email and social media campaigns. Plus, if you get stuck, not to worry. Shopify is always around with 24/7 customer support. You don't need permission. You're more capable than you think. And even if you do find something you can't do, chances are Shopify can. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/poppop. Again, that's shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop.
When maintaining your daily wellness rituals is important to you, the change in routine during the summer can feel daunting. Kachava's new travel packs help you stick to your daily ritual, even when you're on the go. Just one packet of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake provides complete nutrition with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and much more. So you'll be fueled and ready for wherever life or your summer adventures take you. No fillers, no nonsense, just the good stuff your body craves. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. But you can try it for yourself because the variety pack includes all 6 delicious fan favorites: chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry. So instead of worrying about sticking to your daily ritual, simplify it with Kachava. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS for 15% off. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
But you didn't.
Speaking of, you were coming up here not far away
from
being 2 years.
2 years.
Mustachioed.
Indeed. That's true.
How are you feeling?
I mean, I feel pretty good. There's like, I do have to like trim the ends here every now and then. I think I have days where I'm absolutely like, I love it. It's the best thing. It's so cool. And other days where I'm like, I'm shaving it. It's gone. Like, I'm just, you know, whatever.
Do you ever have dreams that you've shaved it?
No.
Oh my
really.
Gosh. It's almost like I used to have like the teeth falling out dream all the time. Sometimes I have I shaved too close and accidentally shaved off my whole beard.
Oh no.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, it's not even that big of a setback. Like,
right.
It would take me like 40 days to largely be, I mean, maybe not like full length back, but like
right.
largely be back.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things like where I'll like wake up in a cold sweat and be like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like, sometimes if I think about shaving and I was like, well, if you shave it, like that's pretty much it. And it's like, that's not even true. Like, you know, give it a few months and you could just grow it back.
It would just be bad.
Like, it's not like a big deal. The thing that I think makes it feel like a bigger deal is that like, we're on camera so much.
I think
and people would
too.
Be like, just make up your mind, man. You know, we got to keep going through this transition period. And
right. It's like, you made me get used to like the mustache. Now I'm trying to get used to not having a mustache. And now you got a little bit of a crustache going on.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, oh, it's back again. Okay. I'm kind of used to it again. And
right.
You know, but now I've got like, you know, trust issues because, you know, before you had it and I never right. thought it was going anywhere. And then it was gone one day.
Right.
And,
what do you even look like?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You used to be rare. Now you're so common.
You're so common.
Exactly. You know, these are the things, right? What are you going to do?
I bet you met your wife on a dating app.
Yeah. I didn't, guys. I swear. We met in high school.
I still get my 2%.
Yeah. I still get that credit.
Yeah. It's lowering my average.
Yeah. Yeah. But otherwise, mustache, good. You know, I don't know where the World Mustache Championship is this year. I didn't go last year.
Oh, too you bad, know? Though.
I know.
Too bad.
I know.
I mean, so like, if you were to tell me your 5-year plan, you know.
My
like,
5-year plan for mustache?
Yeah. So like, do you think in the year 2031, do you think you still have a mustache?
Gosh. In 2031, do I still have a mustache? I don't know. I don't like, it is hard to say.
Doesn't it feel like, isn't it crazy how like what you're experiencing is like a 49-51 fulcrum where like it really could go either way.
Right.
And like, as you think about it in either direction, it's sort of like, man, it'd be like a long time to commit to it on the one hand. So it's like, nah, probably not. But then on the other, it's like, well, it's kind of become like a obvious part of my face.
Right. I know. For some reason in my brain, I don't know why this aligned, and I'm not even sure, I don't think it'll come to pass or anything, but like in my brain, when I like was like when I weighed myself back at Christmas,
yeah.
And I was like, boy, I think I should try and work on this. Like in my brain, for some reason, the idea of getting down to my goal weight was going to like coincide with also shaving the mustache. And I was like,
really?
I know. And like that one, I thought it would take so much longer. And now I'm like on the precipice of it. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen.
But
in my brain, those two things were connected for some reason.
So you were getting there. You got there much faster than you thought you would.
Yeah. Pretty close at this point. And this, as of this morning, I was like, I'm trying to get under like 185. So this morning I was 186.2. So,
whoa.
So I was like, whoa, that was pretty exciting.
That's unbelievable.
I know. So I was like a pound away. Yeah.
Goodness.
I know.
Congratulations.
Well, thank
man.
You. I know. Yeah. It's been, a journey for sure. A very intentional thing.
But, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. It's been very obvious. I've witnessed a lot of your like good decision-making habits yes. and whatnot.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You look great.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I feel good. You know,
that's also feels like a big part of it. You know,
right.
You want to, you want that effort to like yield what you're actually looking for.
Right.
Like it's, what's a good example? Like, you know, like if you were going to go to the gym all the time, you were just like exhausted constantly. And
right.
You're like, well, I look the way I want to look, but I'm really tired.
Right.
And I don't really have, oh, I have a great example.
Ooh.
I have a great example because I have a Diablo 2 streamer that I quite like. And I like, you know, watch his stuff usually if I'm playing the game.
Right.
And I think there was like a small little like splash of, I don't even know if I'm going to go as far as like controversy, just internet people doing internet things. And so he was making like an explainer video talking about like why or how he ended up being where he was. But the phrase that I feel like got tossed around both by him and also by people in the comments was this idea of like no-lifing mm-hmm. a video game.
Right.
And the like underlying...
Is this like a phrase perpetuated by South Park?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've only just been exposed to it and it had never occurred to me to even put a name to it.
Okay.
And so there's a very real chance I am like stepping inside of like a much more hotly debated topic than I'm even aware of.
Okay.
So
when I was in college, there was like a 3-episode series of South Park where they're playing World of Warcraft. And they're like nemesis, like, you know, the four boys, like their nemesis becomes like this one guy who just like comes in and keeps killing all their characters or whatever.
Okay.
And they'll keep cutting over to that guy. And he's just like this dude in his basement, just like like clearly like this is all he does all day every day.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure,
he's like a no-lifer. I can't remember if they actually use that phrase or not, but
well, and that was sort of like the thing behind it, was that sort of like people were saying, well, sure, if you're gonna like no-life it, then the suggestions that you're making make a lot of sense, because he is someone who plays the game for a living.
Right.
So he sits down and spends, you know, 8 hours a day playing the game,
right,
streaming, making YouTube content, that type of thing. And like, so it's not really like he's no-lifing it because it's his job. So he's generating his like income. It's how right. he provides his family.
He's lifing it.
He's lifing it. Yeah.
Right.
But like a lot of people, you know, who play the game are kind of like us, where it's like they fell in love with the game when they were like 13.
Right.
It's still popular.
Right.
And it's one of these things where it's like, you know, for me, I would say best case scenario was maybe one or two nights a week. I go and spend 40 minutes to an hour playing it at night.
Right.
Like,
and if I can, you know, take that time and over the course of a few months, get my character to the, like to beat the final boss on the hardest difficulty.
Job that'd well be done.
Job well done. You
yeah,
know,
you
I went on a journey.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, that's like, that's the kind of commitment like lots of people have to it. But like when he's sitting there playing it all day, every day, he's like, this drop system, like, you know, this rare object is too common all of a sudden. And so people might be like, yeah, well, like, that's because you're playing all day, every day. Like, I need it to drop, because if I don't find it, then my character's non-viable and, you know, like whatever. So that's like the basis for the controversy. But this idea of no-lifing something would be like being really, really, really good at the video game by essentially excluding every other aspect of your life.
Right.
So it's like, I'm not really going to work. I'm not really having a social life. I'm not going to the gym. I'm not eating healthy. I'm not doing any of the, you know, tenements of a normal, simple
right.
existence or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you're great at the game, but you don't have anything else maybe
right.
like behind it.
Yeah.
Which I think is the most exaggerated version of what no-lifing it might be like. So there is a side effect. So it's cool just to hear that you've like put all this intentional energy and commitment and everything into like your health and
yeah.
feel better as a result.
Yeah. It's been very good. And it's like, I mean, it's coinciding well with like the fact that I'm actively triathlon training at the moment. So I just have a lot of built-in workouts and stuff to
that is handy.
Keep me motivated and stuff. Although this has been kind of interesting because I've been since the last triathlon when I started swimming, I've just sort of like kept swimming since then.
Right.
Like, I would say usually getting in at least one, usually like two a week. It's been a little different now that I'm actually in the training and have to work in the bikes and runs and stuff as right. well. But like I was ideally I would go like in a perfect world, I would have gone like Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
And that would have been it. I don't think that maybe happened more than like two or three times because just life is always lifing and stuff. I usually have like the morning to do it. And if I miss it in the morning, that's pretty much it.
Yes.
And if, you know, I could miss it in the morning because of any number of reasons.
Sure.
For like, you know, oversleeping or getting the kids to school or
doctor's appointment,
any even reason. And that would be that. So, but probably like two times a week, at least, you know, for the rest of the year or whatever. And then I've like upped the distance I've been going, cause I'm not doing like specific workouts or anything. I'll usually just kind of like go and swim for like a set distance.
Sure.
But since January, I've been trying to swim a mile when I go swimming. And that's just sort of like my distance that I'm going, which is great for the triathlon because I only have to do 750 for the triathlon. So,
you're going to be like, you're going to get out there and be like, oh, I'm done already.
So I'm cruising. Exactly.
Easy peasy.
Exactly. But I've got the, like, you know, I've got the watch, which is great. And it'll like track your, you know, your heart rate zones or whatever. Like if you hear people talk about like zone one, zone two, zone three or whatever, basically like the higher your heart rate is, the higher zone you're in. And like that, like dictates different levels of training and like what benefits you can expect to get from it and stuff sure. like that. But so I was like going back through them today and like back in like January or so, like I would finish the swim and it would be like, oh yeah, your like average heart rate was like 117 beats per minute or something okay. during the swim. And like, you know, that meant you were in, you know, zone two for a good part of it, a little bit here, zone three, and like the rest down here. But today I finished it and I felt like I was like going strong. I felt like I was going fast. I wasn't taking any breaks at all. I was just like wall turn, go, you know, the whole time. And I got to the end and I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, and it's like, you are in like heart rate zone one, like basically the whole time. And I was like, what? Like, no, Like, and then I'm like trying to look up, like, I'm like, it never says that. And I'm like looking up and it's like, that's like the warm-up zone. And I'm like, nuh-uh. But the reality is that like what it means is that like I've just developed a very, very, very good base for swimming.
Yes.
Where it's like, I actually swam the same distance today, like faster and at a lower heart rate. And it's just like, hey, good news. That just means you're being more efficient as a swimmer.
Right.
Right. And like, that you're capable of pushing much harder than you think.
This is like one of those interesting things that always makes me wonder a little bit about, like, you know, we like the Olympics just went off, for example. And so like a lot of times people get to the Olympics and they're setting, you know, either Olympic or world records while they're out there, which means that they're probably covering that distance for the first time ever. And it's like, sometimes I wonder, like, you know, maybe in practice, like more people are hitting like Olympic or world records, but like, there's not like official timing and, you know, admin and oversight committees, right, and blah, blah, blah. So like, maybe people are just like dropping, you know, world records. Like, you know, if you're Usain Bolt and you're out there, you know, doing 100 meter dashes for warmups or whatever, and you throw down a world record time and nobody's there to see it.
Right.
Like, does it count?
Does it count? It's like, you did it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it almost makes me wonder if this is part of the way that like high end athletes are training, where it's almost like they are looking at the data and they are seeing like, look, you're achieving more at a lower heart rate faster, which means that like when you go and you perform, you're going to use a much more extensive heart rate, and what's going to happen is your end, like your finish time, is going to be way high.
Well, so
like
this
way,
is
way fast.
This is like exactly like the new, like a new, like data driven form of training that people are like discovering these days.
Okay.
So for contrast, this past weekend I went on just like a 3 mile run, just to like get my run in. And, you know, if I look at my watch data for that, it'll be like, you are in zone 5 the whole time almost. And I'm, yes, like, okay, interesting. Both were like swimming a mile, running 3 miles, both roughly 30 minute activities,
right?
You know, both aerobic activities. Swimming, basically a walk in the park. Running, basically sprinting in the park.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
I'm like, I wasn't like pushing the pace. I'm not going for race pace or anything. This is just going for a run, you know,
right?
Jogging around the neighborhood, and my watch is like, that basically killed you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I'm like, did it? Like, so then I'm like showing Beth that, and she's like, well, like, really what you need to probably do is like run slower. And I was like, I don't even know if I can, you know?
Sure.
Like, but here is part of it, I think, is literally confronting the battle isn't even with the run. It is confronting your own ego is the problem. Because part of me is like, I was then also looking this up later, and like what it recommends is like, just go and do like a zone 2 run. Like, do not get to zone 4 or zone 5. Like, if your heart rate is going that high, slow down. And it's like, you might even like it's so hard, because like you're going to feel almost like embarrassed. Like, am I even running? I'm going like so slow.
Like, does this
like
count?
Does, yeah, it count? Why am I even out here at all? But the answer is, it does count. And it's like your ego will get in the way and be like, no, you have to run fast. You're not going to get faster by running slow. You know,
sure,
it's like, turn left to go right, turn left to go right. You know?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, no, Lightning, that is the answer. You got to drift.
Drift.
Yeah. Sorry. That was a Cars reference.
No, I got it. Yeah.
And a Tokyo Drift reference in the middle of it. And it's like, but the reality is like, despite it feeling like you are like training really slow, and it's like going against every instinct, and you're like, this is like, it feels like embarrassing, and people are like, why is that guy so slow or whatever or something. It's like, none of that's happening. First of all, that's all in your head. But then also, it's like, it's like cheating. It's like hacking your training, because it's like, you get to go out, and the hardest part about running is running, right? But now the training is telling you, the data is telling you, go out and run as easy as possible. Just get to heart to zone 2 for 30 minutes. You're practically going to be walking, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, that can't be the way to get faster, but it is.
Interesting.
It's like, do that. stay at zone two while you're running for like 6 weeks. Go and just like do the runs. It'll be an easy run. But what's going to happen is you're building your running like cardiovascular like health. And then what's going to happen is you're going to be able to run at the same speed that you ran that first day when you were in zone four. You're going to be able to run at that same speed, but stay in zone two now.
Right.
Like that's what's going to happen. And that will actually make you faster. And it's like, like you're telling me I can go train easier and get faster? Like, okay.
I mean, yes, please.
It sounds too good to be true. It sounds like no one I know would like subscribe. Like some guys like, no, if I'm going for a run, like I got to at least be like running hard enough that it feels hard, because that means I'm getting better. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, that's like the conventional wisdom.
Well, I mean, and this like that goes back to like when I was a sophomore in high school in running cross country, I remember like my whole thing was, I think I mentioned this on the pop a few weeks ago, but like I was trying to impress a girl.
Right.
And so there was this like huge portion of like what I was doing that was like, I would show up to every summer run, every, you know, practice, every everything. And I would just basically go and run out front. And I would just run in front of like the top pack for as long as I could. And, you know, it was kind of like one of those things where on like, I mean, it was probably the exact opposite of what you're describing.
Right.
Which was almost like going out and being like in zone 18.
Right.
You know, and it was sort of like, okay, well, how long can I hold it? And
right.
Today I made it a mile before the fast guys warmed up and caught me.
Right.
You know, and then it was like, now I made it a mile and a half, and then I made it 2 miles, then I made it 3 miles or whatever.
Right.
And eventually I was just running with them.
Right.
And it was like, okay, I got there, but it hurt the whole time.
Right.
Like that is what I always remember about it, is that it was like every single second I was out there was like me pushing the boundary, like where I was never comfortably running.
Right.
I was always pushing everything as hard as I could go.
Right. Right. And then, but then, and would you beat them on race day?
If, I mean, it depends on the people.
Right.
I mean, some of them I would beat, but not everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Despite running in front of everybody for a long time.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes. Correct. Yes. The fastest guy on our team, I was out running out in front of, and he would beat me by 3 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And this is like part of, I think, the reason why.
Okay.
Is like, because you were training at zone five all the time.
Right.
Right. And like, therefore, like you weren't ever getting to the point where you had like a strong like zone two engine or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like you're skipping gears like 1, 2, and 3, and it's just basically like, and go, I'm in 4.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the kind of stuff. And it's like, I wish, and I feel like this is like the point when, like, you know, because we would have days where it would be like, this is a workout day, and that is when you're supposed to go fast and get faster.
Right.
You know, and then you're supposed to have the base runs, which are supposed to be these easy runs. But no one would treat them as easy ever.
The problem was is that our coaches were two very recent collegiate runners who had just graduated college.
Yeah.
And their version of like an easy base run was like a sub-7 minute mile.
Right. Because they did all this training before.
Yes.
Right.
And we were high school.
Right. For them, that was probably zone two.
Right.
Right. They were moving and cruising and it was no problem for them. Right. We were just high schoolers and that was it, you know?
Yes. I mean, there's probably layers to this with like any parent even showing their kid like an activity for the first time and forgetting that you can't start at like box 12.
Right.
You stop at box 1.
Yeah.
And go from there. You know, the other thing I think is kind of interesting about this is it reminds me back during the pandemic, we were doing a ton of mountain biking. And I remember I got to the point where like I literally went out and bought like a heavy duty chest strap heart monitor.
Yeah.
Because my watch was telling me like insane numbers. And then I get this heart rate monitor and I'm looking at it. Cause I mean, it was telling me I was going like in excess of 180 beats per minute for like 3 hours.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I went and got the heart rate monitor and it just confirmed it.
Right.
It was like, you know, I was like, goodness. And I think part of what was happening was like, we had like our good buddy, Big Steve, who we talk about all the time, who is like a bike commuter.
Yeah.
So like he is great on a bike.
Right.
Like phenomenal.
Yes.
And, but he wanted to hang out with us. So he would come and we would all ride together and everything was wonderful, you know, because we're all buddies. And I feel like it was almost as if, like, as everybody else in the group was like progressing a little bit forward, they were progressing a little bit forward just enough faster than me that, like, Steven was always able to just, you know, increase his own pace. So he, you know, if he started going 50% speed relative to his potential 100.
Steven is a great, like, I'm just, whatever, dude. I'll just go at your speed. I don't care.
And
I'm
he
just
will. Here.
Yeah. And he will.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the fact is he could turn it on and just tear away from everybody.
Yes.
But like he literally is just there to hang out. And it's having a blast being in the woods on the bike at all.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Yes, yes. So it's a, sometimes people say this and they're like, I'll just go whatever speed you want. And you get out there and you're like, I'm dying.
Right.
Not with him. You know, he will absolutely
go the speed you want. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But we had a big group and everybody was, you know, getting faster at different speeds and stuff like that. But I was like, you know, I remember I was getting home and I was doing like stress hormone, like research, because I was like, my brain is flooded with it because it thinks I've been running from a bit like a physical bear.
Right.
For 3 hours,
right,
twice a weekend.
Yeah,
you know,
right. And it's like, weirdly, the solution for you was probably go on the greenway and just cruise for like 15 miles.
Yes.
And just be like, oh, we're just out here, you know,
right,
just go do that for an hour, you know, once a week. And yeah, you probably would have been like developing like just a different skill.
Yes, altogether. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it feels the exact opposite. Like, no, I got to get out there and like get good at pressing it hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, I think it's just basically been my gear my whole life is just
right.
Go and start at 60 and just wait until you feel comfortable at 60. And then when you do feel comfortable, you just go 80.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to try the Zone 2 runs and see if I can just like see how it feels. And I'll report back.
I have all the faith.
Yeah.
Maximum faith.
Sure. Yeah. Look, Jake, I'm positive I can do it.
No, I know, but I think it will yield like the result that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I think that like your willingness to like listen to this is part of what makes you so rare.
I think part of it as well though is that this is exactly how Beth trains.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, like she will go out and she will run with all of her friends and stuff. And she'll be like, man, they're just good. Like, you know, she'll do the training runs or whatever. And she'll be like, oh, they just run like so much faster than me. And like, you know, she'll be out there and, you know, be following the workout plan or whatever while they like other people in her group are like run ahead. And then this weird thing will happen when they show up to race day where like she will, despite running behind them for all of the training, she will finish in front of them in the race.
Oh, wow. Yes. Right. Yes. So Beth is a great example of like how to follow the training.
Yes. How to follow the training.
Trust the process.
Right. Trust the process. And it's like, rather than letting your ego take hold and have to like perform in the moment at training, it's like perform at the moment you're training for, not in the training.
That's such a beautifully way, like phrased way to say it.
Right. So, I mean, we'll see. Cause I would definitely love it if my runs didn't feel, I mean, that's the thing is like, I didn't finish and I wasn't like dying or anything.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if I'm going by the data, it's like, you were going pretty hard as far as your body's concerned.
Right. Well, that's a piece of it too, is that like whenever I pick up running again, I usually feel like I get out there and it's just sort of like, ooh, I am like immediately going so hard.
Yeah. It's just like your mindset when you grow up doing like cross country and track is just like,
it's set a normalcy bar.
Right. It's set like a normalcy bar that's like, yeah, if you're going out for like a base run, you should probably be hitting, you know, like, you know, a decent base run, you know, is, you know, like around 7-8 minute miles or something, you know?
Right.
And like, clearly I'm not going to hit that, but the faster is probably the better.
Right. Yeah. I'll take 8:45.
Yeah.
You know? Not bad.
Right. Yeah. That's not what I was at. Right. I'll tell you that.
No, I know. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Good life lessons. Jay is rare. That's the peaks of today. Yeah. Let us know. Are you as rare as Jay?
Are you? Yeah. Are you? And can you find a single other person who is a full-time content creator with a mustache who married their high school sweetheart and has twins?
Okay.
Because I need to meet them.
Well, I mean, you'd probably be fast friends.
Yeah, probably based on those four things alone.
I would want to know if we found somebody else who fits the mold exactly perfectly.
Right.
And it would sort of be like, how close are you guys right. in any other
How
capacity?
Many other things do we also have in common?
Yes. Right. Yes. It's like, right. did we just become best
did
friends?
Did we just become best friends?
Oh, you'll love to see it.
Yeah.
You'll love to see it.
Right.
Okay. Y'all, thank you so much, as always, for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Be sure to leave a comment on today's video.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a review if you're watching or listening via like Spotify or other podcast playing apps.
Right.
Or if you have any feedback for the show, you can send it to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. If you right. like to support the show, you can at patreon.com/popcornculture.
And if you want to hear me tell a story about how I nearly lost it assembling a basketball hoop, you can check that out on After the Final Pop.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a Patreon perk.
Which is over on Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.